The Gardener's Bench is brought to you by Rolling Hills Nursery and Landscaping, Museum Road, Rock Hill. Now's the time to get them in and get them growing. Carolina Fresh Farms, call 327-8686, and by Imperial Pool and Spas, Anderson Road, Rock Hill, and now next to the Food Lion in Tega Cay. And now, here are your hosts, Steve Crump and David Recker.
And good morning, and welcome to the Gardener's Bench. We're here every Saturday morning from 8:39 on WRHI, EM 1340, FM 100.1, and WRHI.com. My co-host, Mr. Rector's on vacation this week, so I got a good friend and colleague as a guest, and Mr. Paul Thompson with Clemson Extension Service. How are you this morning, Paul?
Great, Steve. How are you?
Been a while. I haven't talked to you in
a
while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, you know, this virus thing. Yeah. And, in fact, we've been, our officers were closed in the middle of March. And, you know, we're almost to the point of bringing employees back to the office. Everybody's been working remotely. And, it's different all over the state due to populations and office sizes and the details of the office. Is a standalone or is it part of another building with a lot of other things going on in it? So, you know, it's kind of a wait and see and been learning to do virtual stuff.
Yeah, been kind of trying times for all of us, actually.
Yep.
But, anyway,
I've been Zooming this and Zooming that. Zoom meetings.
I never have done the Zoom thing. I think I'm a little too old for that or something. I can't quite comprehend that, how it works.
Well, it's not really too bad, but I needed to participate in it a lot before I felt confident to actually start doing things.
But you're smarter than I am, though. We established that years ago.
I'm not technology, real savvy.
Yeah. Well, you've been in Rock Hill or York County since 2004?
Yep, came here in 2004.
Okay. And the thing about that is Tommy and I had met you a few years before that because you were doing the certified plantsman test at the trade shows for the South Carolina Nursery Association. So we were kind of thrilled when you got moved up here when Henry retired. Raymond retired, I guess. One of them retired. I don't remember. I'm getting confused.
It was Henry. Retired the year before I moved.
Okay. And so you've been around a while now. I thought you might turn me down today because you say the only time I want you on here is talk about vegetables. And that's really true because I don't do it. We don't do it anymore. And I've kind of lost out. But one thing I did want to talk about vegetables. And I'm getting a lot of calls for it. I've never done it and don't know anything much about it. So it's going to be a learning session for me. Is backyard, raised beds, square foot, there's all kinds of names for it. In your backyard or side yard. And the first question I got lately is, do I have to have sun or shade? Well, I don't know many vegetables grow in the shade.
Right. So. you need at least 6 hours of direct sun. You start lessening that. There are some crops that will do okay, but most crops that are flowering crops, the more sun, the more flowering, the more fruit. And, so it's still possible that things might produce with less sunlight, but the production will not be nearly as much.
Yeah, well, I didn't know you could get by with 6 hours. I thought you had to have more than that. So that
was I said that at a minimum.
Yeah. Now, you've done it for a while now, and I know my cousin's been doing it for several years, but you generally make a bed, and most people frame it with wood. What kind of wood do you use? Because I've had a massive thing from cross ties to
you get – different opinions about any different type of wood, whether it be somebody concerned about treated lumber. Treated lumber is approved for use, and we're talking about it's the treated lumber nowadays that basically copper is the preservative in that lumber. the copper element is in the lumber, and that is what copper is a kind of a natural fungicide. In fact, it's used in organic gardening as an approved organic fungicide to spray on the leaves and fruit of your plant. And yet people are concerned that there's copper in the wood, and so therefore it's chemically treated, and so they can't use it. So it's, you know, people need to just kind of think about what is actually being used. Now, it's ammoniated copper quaternary because it has to be formulated in a way that it'll actually get into the wood, but everything else goes away, and the copper is left behind to preserve the wood. So it's no problem with using treated wood. Now, back before 2003, the common treated lumber that homeowners would buy to use to build decks or whatever was arsenic. It's a totally different story.
Yeah.
So, you know, the treated lumber is your least expensive, fastest way that you can build a bed. It doesn't really cost that much to buy, you know, treated 2x6s. And actually, I have found that the smaller dimension lumber, you know, 2-inch lumber, 2-inch thick lumber, actually holds up better, doesn't warp, doesn't do all these other things that large diameter does.
Really?
I've got, when we built the demonstration beds behind the office, we used treated 4x6. So we use these 4x6 beams.
Yeah, I've seen them.
It's about the closest thing you could get to a railroad tie,
right,
as far as dimension. And, I mean, you could buy 6x6 too, but that was a little bit overkill. So anyway, we built these beds out of 4x6 lumber. And we drilled holes all the way through. Some of them are three high, so they're about 18 inches deep or 15 inches. And put a rebar down into the ground to kind of tie everything together. And then we used some, you know, large nails, pre-drilled holes and that kind of thing. And those things have splayed all out this way and that, and don't hold up like the, they have just more of a tendency to warp.
Okay, it's that time. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to the Gardener's Bench.
Hey, Mills.
Hi, neighbor.
I'm missing the big game because I'm out here pulling weeds.
Carolina Fresh Farms has fertilizer and maintenance programs tailored fit for your lawn. Don't spend your game day pulling weeds. Follow the maintenance program and make your lawn look the best it can look.
Really?
Yes, Carolina Fresh Farms, your landscaping supply specialist.
Rolling Hills Nursery and Landscaping is open with all the latest bushes, shrubs, and plants. Steve and Tommy Crump are still taking spring reservations for designing and landscaping your yard. Remember,
now's the time to get them in and get them growing.
Museum Road, Rock Hill.
Instead of going to the beach, enjoy the water at home with an above-ground pool from Imperial Pools. This is Mike Elder. For the cost of spending a week at the beach, your family will enjoy a pool at home for many summers to come. See Imperial Pools, 21 Bypass, Rock Hill, and next to the Food Line in Lake Wiley.
We return now to the Gardener's Bench on WRHI-FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports.
And now, once again, here's Steve Crump and David Rector.
And we're back to the Gardener's Bench. And again, Mr. Rector's on vacation this week, so Mr. Paul Thompson with Clemson Extension Service has been kind enough to come in and help me out today. And we've been talking about... We never did decide what it was called, but I'm going to call it backyard gardening, for lack of a better term. And you're talking about the wood to build the frames out of. And the one that gets me is the people that want to use cross ties, and that's, to me, would be a big no. But
yeah, I mean, really old ones
won't
will probably
much.
Be okay because all of the preservative that's going to leak out.
The creosote's already gone. So.
But, you know, one thing they're not consistent in their dimensions, so cross ties make it really difficult, and they're heavy. So, but, you know, you put them down, they're certainly not going to go anywhere. That's true. But, you know, if people are concerned about that kind of thing, they could always use, like the Master Gardeners have a educational garden beside Winthrop that's all the beds are made out of just stacked concrete block, regular 8x16-inch block. Those work quite well for them. You know, you can buy the things that people make retaining walls out of, the, you know, those stackable stones and that kind of thing, if you want to, and the beds would be really attractive at the same time. But you're just talking about an investment there. Yeah. So I'm talking about a economical bed by using treated lumber. Right. And you can expect with the ACQ lumber, you're going to get probably 8 to 10 years out of that lumber before it starts rotting anyway, because the preservative doesn't last forever. And but at any rate, I've even built beds out of broken concrete slab, what was torn up as an old sidewalk or something, and just stacked them.
Just stacked stone, yeah.
The key is, what do you put in the bed? And too many people go and buy bags of stuff at the home improvement store, and they see a bag and it says topsoil. Well, I guarantee you there is not a bit of soil in that topsoil. It is just compost.
It's all soilless media.
It's all compost. It's all decomposed plant matter. And compost is great, but compost is a thing to improve a mineral soil. Compost is not something meant to grow in. And the reason is, yes, there's nutrition in compost, but it's all very, very, very slowly available. It's not a quick fertilizer.
It breaks down pretty
quick,
too.
And it also, it continues to decompose.
Right.
And subside. Okay, so if you were to fill a raised bed that was 12 inches deep with compost at the beginning of your spring growing season to plant your tomatoes and squash and all that stuff, by November that compost would have settled about halfway down. Now you got only 6 inches deep of soil.
I've seen that.
You would be, number one, you would be spending a whole hell of a lot of money. I guess I can say that.
You can say that.
Howard Stern set the way.
I'm sorry. I apologize. But you'd be spending a whole lot of money for something that you've got to replace every year. And plus, it becomes droughty. Okay, so compost, it drains well, but it has an excessive amount of shrinking and swelling. When it gets wet, everything kind of swells up. And when it gets dry, it becomes very difficult to re-wet.
Yeah, it's hard to get it wet.
I'm sure everybody's had a house plant where it dried out so much that it had shrunk away from the pot, and you water it, and it, no matter how much you water it, all the water runs down the side of the pot and out the drain holes, and you still got a dry root ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happens in an organic, completely organic bed. An ideal soil only contains 5% by volume organic matter.
Oh, 5%.
That is what's considered an ideal soil, 5% organic matter by volume.
I didn't know that, because we tell them to use some clean, if you can find it, screen topsoil and mix the compost with it. But,
I'm afraid I was telling them a lot more than 5%. Bed, you want to increase the amount of organic matter because of the fact that it you're using the mineral soil. And it's like growing things in a pot. We don't pot up with clay, in a plant. So. You do want to have really good drainage in a raised bed. So what I tell people is, don't go over 25% compost. But you need just a mineral soil. We're talking about soil that's made out of broken down rocks. The stuff that you dig up in a shovel in your yard. That is, there are so many minor elements that plants need, like molybdenum and boron and...
Manganese
and these others that are typically not in any kind of a fertilizer. You can
compost or fertilizer.
You can get them individually, but in a a general fertilizer, it's just nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium.
Right.
It's really important to a lot of people that grow with just too much organic soil. One of their biggest problems is nutrient deficiencies.
Yeah. I want to get on to something else before the thing ends, but plant selection or the vegetables now. You're not going to believe this, but I have literally had people this year calling me wanting to buy corn plants.
Mm.
And that's a seed to pot. And the corn, you generally have to have a plot of it. You can't do individual plants.
I wouldn't. Corn is not worth the effort to build a raised bed and plant corn in a raised bed because, number one, you don't want raised beds to be too wide. No wider than 4 feet, because one purpose of the raised bed is you're not walking in it. You're standing on the ground tending to the plant. You never need to till it. It's very friable. You can dig all your holes with your hands. I mean, it's you don't want to be walking in your raised bed. So, and a 4 foot wide, which would be about a 3 rows of corn in one of a 4 foot wide bed, there's not enough size of a block of corn for pollination and ear production to occur.
Yeah, they self-pollinate to a degree.
So you got the tassels up top, and the wind knocks the tassels, and the bee activity knocks the pollen, which falls down. And if there's a little bit of breeze, that pollen up here way above the ears of corn might land 3 feet away because the breeze is blowing that way. So if you don't have a wide block of corn in all dimensions, like 15 by 15 or 20 by 20, so that no matter what direction the wind was coming from, you'd get pollination from neighboring plants.
Yep. Okay, we're going to take another quick break, and we're going to come back and talk some more about vegetable square foot backyard gardening.
Hey, Mills.
Hi, neighbor.
I'm missing the big game because I'm out here pulling weeds.
Carolina Fresh Farms has fertilizer maintenance programs tailored fit for your lawn. Don't spend your game day pulling weeds. Follow the maintenance program and make your lawn look the best it can look.
Really?
Yes, Carolina Fresh Farms, your landscaping supply specialist.
Rolling Hills Nursery and Landscaping is open with the latest bushes, shrubs, and plants. Take advantage of your time at home. The Crump Brothers are ready with free professional advice to spruce up your yard. Remember,
now's the time to get them in and get them growing.
Museum Road, Rock Hill.
This is Mike Elder. We're the pool care specialists at Imperial Pool and Spa in Lake Wylie and Rock Hill. We're your local BioGuard dealer, ready to assist you with a wealth of pool care knowledge, wide range of proven BioGuard products, and everything needed to establish the best system. Come see us.
We return now to The Gardener's Bench on WRHI-FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports.
And now, once again, here's Steve Crump and David Rector.
And we're back to the gardener's bench. And as I said earlier, Mr. Paul Thompson's my guest this week, and he's been talking to us about backyard or square foot gardening. And we talked about why corn wouldn't be a good idea. And I was mentioning him, I had a couple of phone calls. People said the squash plants were covering up their pepper plants, so you got to be kind of careful what you put where.
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to imagine how big a vegetable plant is when you go and buy a little plant in a little six pack, you know, and a 4x8 bed, which, you know, is a common kind of size for at least building one bed. You know, it's not gonna, you're not gonna be able to grow a huge variety of vegetables. I mean, you just don't have the square footage there. But one thing you can do is anything that can go vertical, train it vertical. And I use cattle or livestock fence panels. You can buy them at the home improvement stores, at least have the cheapest version of that, which is the holes in the wire are like 6x8. But it's a heavy wire. And so that's a 16-foot long panel that's 4 feet wide. I cut it in half, use the wire where I cut the middle wire out to cut it in two pieces. Now it's like fork tines that I can press down in one bed, and then I've got another bed 3.5 feet away, and then I put the other panel in that, bring the tops together, and now I've got an arch that I walk under down the walkway, and on one side I've got pole beans growing, on the other side I have cucumbers growing up that 8-foot trellis.
Yeah.
And the great thing about that is, in the middle of the summer when it's really hot and you got to go out there and pick your beans, you're standing in the shade under that trellis and just picking all the beans, you know. And so it going vertical with anything that you can grow verticals, because if you planted a cucumber plant in the bed, well, it's going to sprawl out.
It'll take over the backyard.
3, 4, 5 feet, even further. A squash plant, a healthy, healthy squash plant, is going to be at least 3.5 or 4 feet from leaf tip to leaf tip. So what you need to do is plan for that spread, and instead of planting that squash plant in the middle of your bed, plant it about 6 inches away from one of the corners. So that way it can...
Half of it's not
three-quarters of the plant is going to be hanging outside of the bed.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So you got to plan for how big things are going to get. And also, anything that grows tall, you want to plan it to the north, on the north end of your garden. It would actually be better if you got a 4 by 8 foot bed to orient it where the long axis is pointing north-south.
Really?
And that way, on the very far north end of your garden, that's where you could put a trellis, because it's going to grow up high and it wouldn't be shading anything because the sun's to the south and east and west, never to the north. Okay, so you orient your... If you plant in the ground and you're planting your rows, you do the same thing. It's the best orientation is north-south, because that way the east side of the plant gets sun in the morning, the west side of the plant gets sun in the afternoon. If you orient it the other way, the only side of the plant that gets sun is the south side. And it, you know, and so your already plants are shading each other because of they're in a row. So you want that shading to occur in a north-south orientation, not an east-west orientation.
Okay.
You get better sun exposure over the whole plant by orienting the rows north and south.
That makes good sense. I had never thought of that, but it does make good sense.
Both sides of the row get sun or only one side.
Before we go on break real quick, you walked in here this morning with something. I'm still not quite sure what this thing is.
Right.
It looks like a squash, but it's about 2 feet long and about 1.5 inches diameter with a bulb on the end of it.
Right. Well, I got I had to give a talk last year at the symposium. I gave a talk on reducing pesticide use in the garden. And one of the things I talked about was growing things that were resistant to some of the pests. And through researching for this talk, I came across a homeowner that posts garden videos, and she was growing this Italian heirloom squash that's got several different names. One name is Tromboncino, and it's commonly called a trombone squash because of its shape.
It's long.
Yeah, long skinny neck, and then a kind of a bulb at the end. And the bulb at the end is where the actual seed cavity would be.
Yeah.
So that means all the rest of this is like the long neck of a yellow squash.
Yeah, it's the
Never any seeds up in that area.
Nothing to worry about.
And this one's probably a little bit larger than you would want to harvest for fresh eating. But I've only eaten a couple of them. One of them was about this size, and it was all curly-cued the way it had grown.
Yeah.
But at any rate, they are a summer squash substitute, and they climb.
Okay.
They have tendrils.
Okay.
They climb. I grow them on a trellis.
Okay, well, we're going to be right back and talk about this lime green 2 foot long squash when we get back.
Rolling Hills Nursery and Landscaping is open with all the latest bushes, shrubs, and plants. Steve and Tommy Crump are still taking spring reservations for designing and landscaping your yard. Remember,
now's the time to get them in and get them growing.
Museum Road, Rock Hill.
Hey, Mills.
Hi, neighbor.
I'm missing the big game because I'm out here pulling weeds.
Carolina Fresh Farms has fertilizer and maintenance programs tailored fit for your lawn. Don't spend your game day pulling weeds. Follow the maintenance program and make your lawn look the best it can look.
Really?
Yes, Carolina Fresh Farms, your landscaping supply specialist.
Start your swimming season the right way with Imperial Pool and BioGuard. This is Mike Elder. We'll customize a no-hassle treatment plan to make opening your pool quick and easy. Relax and bring your water sample to BioGuard at Imperial Pool, 21 Bypass Rock Hill, or next to the Food Line, Lake Wiley.
We return now to the Gardener's Bench on WRHI-FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports.
And now, once again, here's Steve Crump and David Rector.
Tomato transplant.
And we're back to the Gardener's Bench. It's been a pleasant 27 minutes so far, but we've been talking about square foot backyard gardening. And Mr. Thompson's been real informative because I've actually learned a bunch on this because I've never done it. We always did the row cropping, I guess, what you call it, and 200 tomato plants and that kind of thing. And basically, we got too old to do it. But you brought this, I guess it's a squash is what we finally determined.
Yeah, it's a squash, and you harvest and eat it when it's, you know, probably between about 12 and 18 inches long. I would imagine this one's going to be fine. I ate one of the same diameter that was all bent out of shape. I've tried it stir-fried. I've tried it roasted in the oven. I like the roasted in the oven better.
Okay.
One thing, though, that I need to mention, the whole reason I grew this, number one, I like any plant that I can grow that climbs in raised beds. And the other thing is it is squash vine borer resistant. So that usually is the death of a summer squash plant. The vine borers get into the stem. They eat all the stem tissue that's actually conducting the water and nutrients up the squash plant to the leaves. And so the squash plant wilts and dies from lack of water.
We used to call it wilt, but it's
because these worms are feeding and eating up the inside of the stem. Well, this has a really hard stem. It doesn't have a soft stem like our summer squash. And so the borer can't. They might try to nibble on the outside, but they cannot get inside of that stem. And so being that, I mean, that is the worst nemesis in a summer garden is squash vine borer, if you like squash. I mean, you have to deal with squash bugs, and they can be a big problem too, but they can be dealt with. Squash vine borers are hidden. The worm is inside of the stem. And so it there are things to do. You can put compost on the branches of the squash plant as it kind of spreads out and starts, you know, running across the ground a little bit. Put piles of compost on the stem, you know, it might be where some leaves are attached and stuff. And the squash plant has the potential to root in that compost where it's covered up, kind of like layering, the old-fashioned layering to get a plant. And that way, if the stem is destroyed where it comes out of the ground, you know, from the root system, you might have some secondary root systems up the vine.
Okay, there's the music. So that wraps it up for this rendition of the Gardener's Bench. And thank you very much, Paul. And I'm going to get you back on here to talk about the other stuff I had written down. But that seems to be the story of my life, never getting it all done. So we'll see you next week on the radio.
Rock Hill. Now's the time to get them in and get them growing. Carolina Fresh Farms. Call 327-8686 and by Imperial Pool and Spas, Anderson Road, Rock Hill, and now next to the Food Lion in Tega Cay. Join us again Saturday morning at 8:30 for the Gardener's Bench on WRHI FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports.